You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
According to some estimates, the average Metro Vancouver resident throws away 900 kilograms of garbage every year, which is twice as much as the Canadian average of 500 per person. Metro Vancouver is the government body responsible for waste management in the region, and currently they're considering a new solid waste management plan. The plan includes a controversial proposal to invest $470 million in a waste-to-energy garbage incineration process. The Metro Van Board is expected to vote on the plan in less than 3 weeks. Helen Spiegelman has been active on this issue for several years. She's a founding member of Zero Waste Vancouver, and she joins me in the studio this morning. Welcome, Helen.
Hi, Mordecai.
First, what is a waste-to-energy plant?
It is a technology that was introduced in the mid to late 19th century, when cities first started having to deal with waste that accumulated in large quantities in urban areas. And Nottingham, England was the first city that I know of to build such a facility. And it was intended to rid the cities of the curse of accumulating waste. And they were called cremators. And it was very much a part of the Victorian mentality of, if we just get it out of sight, we'll take care of the problem. And now they keep rebranding them as we reach a new period of approaching peak oil and energy scarcity. This always brings the incinerator salesman out of the woodwork. It happened in the 70s and 80s during the last oil crisis. And people are lining up to talk to politicians right now about their great schemes for burning garbage in various forms to make it go away.
Do we presently have some in the metro area?
We do. We were one of the communities in the late 80s in North America that did not say no to waste-to-energy incineration. Even then it was billed as that, although it doesn't at all fully realize the potential waste recovery aspect. It was built in 1988, and it took almost 10 years to sneak it through, and people did actively oppose it for all the same reasons we're opposing this one. But garbage is a tough issue to get people mobilized around, and they do a very convincing sales talk about how modern these facilities are, and they point to countries like Europe that we all have inferiority complexes about and convince us that this is the way the world is going. Let's get on board.
Now, so then the proposal means expansion. What's the extent of this expansion?
It's going to increase it by a time and a half. There are about less than 300,000 tons of waste go to the current incinerator in South Burnaby, right down on the beautiful Big Bend area where there's parks and farmland all around. And they would build a new incinerator at some unspecified place, and that's where the next fight would happen if they decide to go ahead with this, to build 500,000 tons of waste a year. So we're talking about 500,000 tons of garbage that would be incinerated.
Wow. Now, aside from the building, has there been some discussion of where location might be?
Yeah. In fact, Metro Vancouver attempted, long before any of this was approved, to expropriate land in New Westminster, the old Canfor industrial lands down on the river. And they were bidding against the Port of Vancouver, which is a very powerful federal entity. And when it looked like they were going to lose the bidding war, they were prepared to invoke their power to expropriate land for public purposes. And Johnny Carline, the commissioner, and the board were moving ahead with this, but at the very 11th hour, a report went to the board recommending not pursuing the expropriation. And it was in large part because the good citizens of New Westminster realized this was going to change their quality of life, and it was not a good use of that land. So they turned back from that.
I've been by that. I sort of got lost in a bit of a hike and went by the Burnaby incinerator, and it was quite terrifying, actually. So what are, though, the biggest problems with waste energy incineration? If you're making the case not to go this route, what are the strong arguments?
Well, it's sort of a whole array of arguments. The one that has had the most power, I think, here in the Lower Mainland is the pollution argument. They do generate unspecified and extremely hazardous pollutants, some of which are just beginning to be characterized, notably nanoparticles, which are particles of pollution so small they can migrate right through our tissues. And they're not well understood. A researcher in England who knows a lot about them says there's no sense in building incinerators because of this risk. And because of the shape of our airshed here, we're at the open of a funnel of a valley, and the folks up the valley who would be taking the pollution from our incinerator have been a very powerful and articulate voice opposing this. But increasingly down here on the coast, you know, we are recognizing that we're not immune either. So the health issue is real. And but in addition to that, and the one that really works for me is the larger issue about building a facility with the intent of using it as an energy generation plant that will rely upon today's completely unsupportable flows of garbage. If we continue to produce throwaway products and packaging at the rate that we're producing them today, we are going to suck the planet dry of resources. And if we send them straight up into the atmosphere in an incinerator, we're going to further the horrible burden on the atmosphere of carbon from our industrial system. So it's absolutely the wrong system for dealing with our waste problem.
It's the obstacle is always that people don't want to reduce waste as opposed to find some slick, sneaky way of supposedly getting rid of it.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting about this? I've worked in this field a long time, and I retired from my job at the Recycling Council in the late 90s and started looking into the history of waste. And our profligate waste habits of letting stuff flow through our hands and be used for such a short time and indulging in throwaway products has for 100 years been supported by public policy. 100 years ago, cities started providing convenient collection of anything we didn't want anymore at the curb once a week, effectively at no cost. The cost is buried in our municipal taxes. People don't pay attention when the decisions are made. They just pay the little bit that it costs, and they assume that this is a free good. And not only the consumers and the household, but notably the producers of throwaway products have capitalized on convenience to increase their profitability by selling products that are throwaway products without themselves incurring the cost of the throwing away. The public is taking that cost, and the companies who make the throwaway products and packaging, which as we know are proliferating and proliferating, are more and more getting off scot-free. So this is why I became enraged about this, is we are a province here in the upper left-hand corner of North America that are a world leader in a new public policy around waste, which is to end that century-long policy of welfare for the producers of throwaway products and packaging, subsidizing waste by picking it up and making it go away. We are the world leaders in implementing something called extended producer responsibility. Product by product, we're hauling the producers to the table and saying, you make it, you take it back, and you show us that you're going to recycle it.
Now, after the last months, several municipalities, including the City of Vancouver, Coquitlam, have moved away from support for this waste to energy production.
That's a good story.
Incineration. Tell us a little bit about that.
There has been, I've been observing the meetings now since January 2008 when the proposal was first put on the table. And when it was first put on the table, at the end of January in 2008, the way they presented it was to say, we're going to recycle 70% of our waste. This is the plan. And then it was only parenthetically mentioned that we were going to burn 1.5 million tons a year. And that was their plan. So people missed the second sentence and only heard the first sentence. But I've watched over the months that have elapsed since then that there has never been passionate enthusiasm for the burning of waste. There aren't any citizens clamoring to have incinerators, and there aren't any politicians who see any real win here in building an incinerator, even though Metro Vancouver and you and I paid the cost of sending a delegation of prominent politicians to Sweden to enjoy the view of their incineration system there and to become sort of apologists for it here. Even those people, two of them for sure, and I don't know about the others, have come more recently to question primarily the financial cost, because in addition to the health impacts and the waste reduction impacts, the cost of this system is staggering. And not only is it going to cost the $500 million to build it, but we are going to be shackled to paying high tipping fees for our garbage without getting any better service for that tipping fee than we're getting now.
So the Metro Board is going to vote on this. There's been this reversal of support or enthusiasm or at least complicity with the project. They're going to vote on the 30th at the end of the month. Of July. What outcome do you expect?
Well, there's one more kick at the can for the public, and this is really important for your listeners. Next Wednesday night, July 14th at 7 p.m. out in the bronze tower that you can see from the Patterson SkyTrain station where Metro Vancouver has its corporate headquarters, there will be a meeting at 7 p.m. in the boardroom on the second floor. And that's our last chance as the public to come forward and send one last message to the board. And what happened in that very same room on April 9th, I think, was the watershed moment that began to turn the tide in the other way. The delegation from Vancouver put four amendments to the plan on the table at the last minute before the plan was sent out for consultation. And one of those amendments was deemed contrary to the motion by the chair, and it said, no incineration. But the most important and far-reaching of those four amendments is an amendment to ban compostable organics from either landfills or incinerators in 5 short years. And this is going to be the most far-reaching new policy, along with the extended producer responsibility I mentioned earlier, to clean up the landfills by getting the putrescibles, as they call them, out, which are causing the global warming gas methane to be formed. And those four amendments are going to the Waste Management Committee to be kicked around a little bit, and I believe that's going to happen in the week between the public meeting next Wednesday and the final board meeting on the 30th. The other thing that's happening between then is the final meeting of the Solid Waste Reference Panel. This is a body of stakeholders, of whom I am one, representing the public interest stake, which has been reviewing the plan and making comments on it. And we meet next week to after the 14th to consider what input we would like to make to Metro. So there's two more sort of channels for influence before the 30th. And my expectation, you know, you never want to declare victory until you've seen the white flag. But my expectation is that there has been sufficient erosion of confidence in this plan that we can put a positive spin on it by saying, you know, all the other provisions we can work with, we'll just quietly tuck that one off the table.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Helen.
You bet.
I've been speaking with Helen Spiegelman. She's founding chair of Zero Waste Vancouver. If you'd like to get more information about their organization, their website is zerowastevancouver.org.